Well, that's, I don't know what it is. It's a beautiful song. I want to lead in today, about the next 3, maybe 4 weeks. We won't be on the same message, but this is a lead in today, a beginning. We're going to talk about strongholds, and not so much today. We're going to talk about sort of the beginning, where things start. But next week, we're going to talk about strongholds. We're going to look at where things come from. I've been telling you about this one particular message that I keep having opposition to from the enemy. Every time I try to work on it, I'm distracted. Something happens. Things, because it's dealing with where are these problems we have coming from? Where do these spells we have? Temper fits we throw. Where's all these overwhelming urges and the weird things we do? Where's this stuff coming from? And we're going to talk about that over the next 2 or 3 weeks, or at least if the Lord keeps leading in this direction. But today we're in 1 Timothy to just sort of begin a little land, just to touch a little bit of groundwork, and then we'll go deeper and deeper as we move along. But this one today is dealing with knowing when. That's what the title is. It's just knowing when. Just knowing when to do and not to do certain things. And just finally tying in with God. And we're going to read in 1 Timothy. Let me give you a little preview, because I did not want to read a whole bunch of scriptures, because that just wears us out and we lose track, and enough's enough. But in 1 Timothy chapter 6, the first part of that chapter, he's talking about the false teachers and human pride and disputes, arguing with each other, disputing, arguments over words and the love of money. And that's all found that leads up to this. So you can read that. I just kind of just picked out the main points to find the fine details of it, and that's pretty much, he said, we're dealing with these false teachers. You don't want to become one of those. What he was talking about, and we see a lot of this today, and you need to read this in that first part, and he talks about people who use the church, Christianity, he calls it godliness, they use the pretense of it to get money from preaching. Do you think any of that's going on anywhere today? And he is talking about it here over 2,000 years ago, that it was happening then, and look how it's expanded now. I mean, we have multi-millionaire, whatever you want to call them, preachers, that, and you can tell. They're just getting rich. They have their own jets. One of them has his own. It's not a Learjet. It's the European Airbus. He's got his own private, Lear type Airbus. Unbelievable stuff. It's like, God help us, when we're at that point where we use the ministry for that. But he's talking about this. You can read it yourself. This is not me rambling. This is in the first part. And he says, you don't do that. And he's talking about what pride gets you into. And he said, and then because of pride, we get into disputes and we argue over words. Does anybody in here ever argue over words? Okay, thank you, ma'am. There's an honest soul back. There's an honest... Okay, thank you. And somebody's words, and you just get all riled up, and you're arguing over words. And nobody has a problem with love of money, do they? Yeah, and you say, no, I don't love it. I just want it. And we always think, listen, we always think that people who have all the money, lots of money, are the ones this is talking about. Have you ever been in a place where you didn't have enough money? Did you just dwell on money? You bet. So it's either place. That's why he talks about contentment and so forth. But you can read all this. Where we pick up is this part. In 1 Timothy, we're going through chapter 6, verses 11 through 16. So here we go. But in the New King James Version, he says, "But you, O man of God," he said, now listen, if you're going to be a man of God, woman of God, flee these things. He said, you run from these things. Flee, run. Run from all this stuff we were just talking about, from ever getting under, being under a false teacher, or becoming one yourself, or doing things for gain, or letting your pride get you into disputes and arguments over words, and this love of money, being worried about money, and blah, blah, blah. Boy, we're in an environment right now where there's just worry over money. And he said, you've got to avoid that. And he said, here's what you do. Flee it. Run from it. And he said, but you can't just run from something if you don't have something else to run to. You'll go back to it. That's a rule in counseling with anyone. You've got to have something to move people towards, or they'll go back into those bad habits and do the same thing over again. And so he says, this is what I want you to shoot for, to run towards. And he said, pursue. Go after righteousness. He said, I want you to focus on being the most righteous person that God ever made on this earth. Now, he said, where did I read that? Well, that's what we're supposed to have as our goal. To be righteous and to let God, you can't on your own, you become a Pharisee if you do that. But you ask God and you seek it. You go after it. God, make me a righteous woman. God, make me a righteous man. Let my thinking be righteous, not caught up and worried about how to pay a bill or money, or mad because I don't agree with somebody, or we're arguing over this stuff, or the false teaching, and on it goes. There's so many distractions the devil throws at us. And he's saying you've got to get away from all that and not be sucked in by it. We're going to talk about that in a moment. He said you've got to pursue righteousness. And with that, godliness. He said, I want you filled with the Spirit. I want you to be a godly person. I want you to be the kind of person that people can look at and say, there goes a woman, a man of God right there. And I want you to be a person of faith and love and patience and gentleness. He said, you go after this, you won't get sucked into that. But the minute you take your eyes off these things, you're taking your eyes off of Christ, and the devil's going to suck you right back into all that other stuff, that worldly stuff. As important as it seems to be, God says, I can handle that. What is difficult for me as the Lord is my people who are not surrendered to me. Because God won't force you to surrender. You've been around people who call themselves Christians, but their fruits did not bear witness to that, haven't you? They weren't surrendered. They were holding on to something in their lives. That's why we're going to go through this next 2 or 3 weeks and really dig into some of this stronghold stuff. But right now, he's saying this is the groundwork for it. I want you to fight the good fight of faith. He said, if you're going to fight the good fight of faith. Quit fighting with each other. And why are you fighting the media? And why are you fighting politics? You should be fighting in prayer. Why are you fighting other church people and other different denominations? Lord, I don't know how many times I've been told, you know, you need to be a part of this. You need to be that. Get this one. You need to be under a governing authority. I've been under that. I know what that's like. But yeah, I've been told that, you know, your church is one of those. Non-denominational. No, we're all denominational. Well, you should be under a governing authority. And you want to be the governor? You know? Usually when somebody says, yeah, you need to be under authority, they're the one who wants to be the authority. You need to be under governing authority. That's right. So somebody can send me letters and come check me out and make sure that I'm conforming to some worldly, man-made standard out here. Right? That's what it's all about. Have any of you been to Emmaus? Anybody familiar with Emmaus? There's Emmaus. When you see the little swivel bracelets, that's usually a person that's been to Emmaus. And John and I went to Emmaus together. But after we went through all that, and then they were having some Emmaus groups, and they were looking at ministers to, because you have a minister council there, minister's table, and they kind of do the counseling, do the work, which they should do. And there was one lady, pastor of another denomination, and she was kind of the head of, of this thing, and they presented my name. I didn't know this till later, but, you know, and she said, no, you know, no, he's not acceptable. And another guy spoke up, said, well, I know Tony, and he counsels a lot of us as pastors up here. Why is he not acceptable? Because he's from a non-denominational church, and you know how those people are. And she wouldn't let me serve. And you know what it did to me? Nothing. I could care less. And I thought, I don't want to serve and have her be the head of me with that kind of attitude. I'll just stay out of it. But yeah, but so you, now I've got to tell you, you're in an all-denominational, non-denominational setting. You know, they all know how we are. You know what it really meant? He's not under a governing authority, and I don't like it. And he's not under my authority. So anyway, that happened, and I'm still going. I'm still happy, and guess what? Thank God, I'm still here. She's gone. Yeah. She got moved out. So you see, that governing authority that she was so happy about just came down there and picked her up and put her somewhere else. Of course, I had to confess this, but I was hoping they put her in the hole under the rock church. And but you know, well, anyway, so that, but that's how things happen. So I'd rather be this than under anything like that, hadn't you? And call me what you want, exclude me from whatever. So I'm saying this to say, if any of you ever felt excluded, if you've ever been picked on, I'm right there with you. I know, I could tell you a story, so many things, but and I don't care. I don't care anymore. It just doesn't matter. But listen to this. He said, I want you to fight the good fight of faith. That's what I'm trying to do. That's the whole point of this and that. So somebody doesn't want you because you're and somebody judges you because you're not under somebody's authority. Well, who cares? I'll tell you whose authority we must be under is the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm strictly under his authority, and I must do what he says. That's why you need to pay attention to this and do what he tells you. You'll be a lot happier person, less stress in your life. So lay hold on eternal life to which you're called, and he said, you confess the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And he said, I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed a good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless. Now he's getting serious, right? He said, I want you to keep what I just told you right here without spot. Don't get it stained. Don't get it mixed in with the world. He said, you know what I just told you to do and what to pursue. And the righteousness, God in his faith, love, patience, gentleness, and fight the good fight of faith and all. He said, I want you to keep it without spot and keep it blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. And oh, this is beautiful. You know, he who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. There it is. I pray that a lot in prayer, but it's coming right from there. And who alone has immortality dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, and to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. So here's the framework. And he says, this is what I want you to pursue. Now, what we're going to begin today is talking about the win of life. And then we're going to talk about strongholds as we move along the next time, or somewhere, however God leads, puts us all together. Been working on this a while. And we'll look at what keeps us, what fights us, what the devil uses to hold us up, trip us up, while we have these things and incidents in our lives. But for right now, we're going to talk about when. Knowing when to do certain things and when not to. So we need to know, first of all, start with this. Know when to put your pride, your ego, your self-defensiveness on the back burner. Now, you've got to know when to do that. And sometimes you can't do it. Some of us, and some people try their best to do this, and it's like they can't, it just won't let go of them. They can't put their pride to the side. They can't turn loose of their ego. They can't put their self-defensive. Listen, have you been trying to talk to somebody? You just approach someone, or you're not trying to counsel them. You're not trying to change their mind. You're not doing anything but just trying to talk, and you don't even know what you said, and they're just defensive all of a sudden, and they're constantly that way. Just boom, ready to fight. Boom, defensive. And then the argument starts, and then this and that, and you're saying, what's the matter with you? What did I say? And oh, nothing. No. Or you said this and that, and your tone of voice, and no. It's like, God, what do you think is behind that? What do you think is causing that kind of thing? Do you think that they're standing there just waiting to be that way? No, there's something else got control of them. It's become a stronghold. And there's a time, though, that you have to learn that you've got to put your pride aside, your ego, your self-defensiveness. I mean, you have to ask yourself, am I being attacked or are my ideas being attacked? Are you even being attacked at all? Somebody just doesn't like your ideas? We all have ideas, don't we? And we get all defensive over them. Well, this is what I believe. Or here, no, this day and time, I mean, this is going to get worse as we move along now. We're already in August. Who are we going to vote for? Well, there's going to be over that. And people are dividing each other over that. And if somebody says to you, well, I don't like so-and-so, and I'm voting for so-and-so, but before you hit them over the head, why don't you think, they're not attacking me. That's where they are. I don't have to like it. And if I can't stand it, what am I supposed to do? I'll just walk away. That's one of the key points in this message is you've got to learn when to walk away. We'll talk about that in a moment. But so somebody thinks different. So somebody doesn't look at God the same way you do. The whole thing is Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. That's what's important. Now, will we take issue? Will I have an issue with someone who says, well, I think there's other ways to heaven besides Christ? Oh, yeah. We're going to be, that is when you have to take a stand on that issue. But if someone says, I believe in Jesus, and I believe He's the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him, what is the problem? Well, I just see God as this way or that way. We can talk about that. Don't we all see God in different ways? Listen, one of the upcoming messages, we're going to talk about why so many people see God as this harsh, tough, old, bearded old man up there. But Jesus is so nice and tender and loving, I thought they were the same. But we do. And we're going to talk about why we picture God so rough and Jesus so nice, and we divide the two. So that's a preview. That's upcoming. And we're going to talk about where that came from and how we've gotten that in our hearts and our minds to view God. And don't we? I mean, there's times in my life that I struggle with that I just afraid God's harsh and He's tough. Why do we as Christians keep looking at God as the Old Testament God back there on Mount Sinai? And here He comes in the presence of, that's Jesus says, you see me, you've seen the Father. And yet, Jesus, you're nice. You're tough. and we do that. And so you have to put your pride, your ego, your self-defensiveness on the back burner. Listen, there's a time to say it's not worth it. Husbands and wives, family members. Listen, there's a time to say, wait, before I get into this, before I let my pride, my ego get me in trouble, it's not worth it. Why say this? Why even start this conversation? How many of you get into conversations that you've gotten into, you've lost count, it's the same thing, and yet you keep bringing it up? I mean, it's like, when's it going to get through? That this is not worth arguing over. This is not worth the fight. There's a time, there's just, you've got to know when to put it, just to put it in its place and let it go. And then there's a time to take action. There is a time to take action. Let's talk about that. We'll start with that one first. There's a time, and let's say you've got to know when to take action. There's the when, and the when to take action and to confront. Yes, every Christian on this place must know when to be quiet, when to let it go, it's not worth it. But they also know, every one of you, and all of us need to know when we must take action. We have to. There's a time to there's that time to know when to confront another person with their immoral, unethical, hurtful behavior. Listen, Christians, there's the view, and the devil, and he wants to use the world, the government, many things around us to convince us of this fact right here, that Christians are to be pacifists. We're never to say or do anything. If that's the case, then Jesus is really out of line. How many times did he rebuke Pharisees? I mean, confronted them right to their face because they were wrong in their understanding of God. They were wrong in their theology. They were wrong in what they're teaching. And he sure didn't like it when they messed with his temple out there and they were selling things they shouldn't be selling and doing it wrong and ripping people off in the courtyard of the temple. So we're not called to be pacifists. You know what we're called to be? Peacemakers, not pacifists. So we need to know when to face the lion in his den. And by the way, you need to know also when not to go just jumping in there just to see if you can take him on. But there's a time that you must face the lion in his den. There's a time when you must have battle with the enemy. And you have to battle with those that serve the enemy. And some of those times, listen, some of those times was when your loved ones are threatened by someone. If the people you care about, your church family, your family, if they're threatened by someone, you need to know when it's time to take action. And if someone is teaching a false doctrine in some church, whatever your kids may be going to, or grandkids, whatever, and you know it's a false doctrine, you know that's not scripture, then you need to know when to confront. Friends, we've let stuff go on way too long in Christianity. Christians, I mean, it's no problem for people to battle over words, over opinions, over ideas. Who cares? Where's that going? But we don't battle enough over right theology. People being abused, people being hurt. There's a time to go in and take up for people. You got to know when that someone else needs your help. If they're being beat half to death by another person, what are you going to do about it? There's a time, that's what we're called upon to do. We have to do something. We don't have that choice. We don't have the luxury of being the ostrich of life and sticking our head in the sand. We have to do something. That's what God called us to be. Go into all the world. We got to do something. We've got to know when our family, our wife, our husband, our children, friends, our church. You ever been in a church where people just stood by and watched a little group of people or this person or that person or this strong personality just start destroying the whole thing, tearing it apart with gossip and rumors, attacks? And people just sit there, stand there, and watch it happen. I'm praying God will use me when the day comes that I just can't do this anymore. didn't have to retire. Wherever I go, one of my prayers is this. And I pray for me to do this. It's like, God, when it comes, when that happens, and I have a different kind of ministry, I pray God will use me in the ministry to help ministers. And if I hear someone in a church attacking their minister, I'm praying God will give me the courage and the understanding to know when to confront that person. Many pastors need people that won't stand up for them and to come and not make them fight the battle, but to stand in there and say, enough. Enough. You are not going to talk about him. You're not going to talk about his wife. Not going to talk about his kids. Not in my presence. If you do, then you and I, we're going to take this to another level. We'll take it and we'll all sit down with the pastor, or we'll take it and we'll go with whoever the elders are, the directors are, the trustees are, whatever it is, and we'll sit down, but we're going to fix this problem. I don't want to hear another word. What do you think that would do to most people? You know why people attack ministers? Because they know the ministers can't hit back. We're the easiest target in the world. Got a big old target painted right on their backs. What can we do? Cuss somebody out? Lose their job? We're going to put somebody in the nose? I've dreamed of the day. I said, I have, and I have to repent of it. I've dreamed of the day when I'm no longer doing this. And then and somebody says, well, I think, and I just... And they say, oh, that was ugly. Can't fire me. I'm not pastor anymore. I won't do that. But, you know, I think verbally, I'm not going to cuss them. I'm going to tell them what, you know, just where they are. And I'm sure not going to wear a target on my back anymore. So you're saying, you need someone to, no, this not, it hadn't happened here. But just think of the pastors you've known and people in ministry. Are you just trying to do ministry and they're just shooting at you and nobody stood up for you? What's wrong with Christians? We just sit there and I've asked people before, you heard them say that. Why didn't you say something? Oh, pastor, I just didn't want to get involved. You come to this church, you're involved. That's like sitting out there and, you know, with the troops, and all of a sudden the bad guys are firing at you, and you see all that, you know, that tracer stuff coming over your head, and you got a guy sitting there, what's your problem? Aren't you firing back? I don't want to get involved. You want to get shot by them or me? You think I'm joking? There's no joke. Here you can't do that, but in the ministry. But just think about it. There, you got to know when. Man, I got to get in. I'm going to get in this fight. You know what the bottom line of this is? It's not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to, some militia, church militia force. I'm simply saying it's this. You've got to know when things are right and righteous and when to take a stand for that. We're here to stand for what's right, not our opinions. Not our ideas, not our political affiliations and all that garbage. We're here to take a stand for what God says is right. Enough. We'll move to the next one. We've got to know when to stand tall. How to stand tall. I'm going to just read this till you won't have it up here. In Ephesians it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is Ephesians 6, 10, 11, 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, listen to this, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You've got to know not only when to take action, but when to stand. Just stand. To be God's man, God's woman. To stand there in the presence, the strength and presence of the Lord, in the Spirit of the Lord. To speak God's word. Listen, what does standing tall mean? It means I stand on God's word. I speak God's word. I don't argue about it. There's no discussion. I stand there. Here's a group acting up, or this is going south, and I simply say in Ephesians blah, blah, or Philippians whatever, God says blah, 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 thus saith the Lord. I take my stand. I'm not arguing with you. We're not going to fight. I'm telling you the word. If you disobey it, you're going to be subject to God's discipline. The devil's got a hold of you, or you can listen to that word and obey it, but I'm not moving, I'm not leaving here, I'm just going to keep saying this word. And I'm standing, I'm dug in the armor of God, and what I see here is not according to Scripture, and I'm speaking the Scripture, and we're not going to fight. Call me what you want, throw tomatoes at me, I'm going to stand. I'm standing on the word. God asked a question in the Old Testament, and what did he say? Who will stand in the gap, right? It's part of a passage, just a little part. It's a little piece, I'm paraphrasing. But, you know, who will stand for evil with me? Who will stand against evil with me? Who will stand in the gap? And standing means standing. You speak the word of God and you stand. Your presence is there, but it's not you. It's the Holy Spirit working through you. That makes people very uncomfortable. They'll try to argue. They'll try to get you upset. Don't bite. Don't play. Just stand. Thus saith the Lord, right here in this word. And somebody might say something, well, you going to preach to us? Thus saith the Lord. And what you're thinking in your mind is, you can accept that or you can go. But I'm not leaving until this thing gets under control. There is a time. You know, you've got to know when. Now, we're going to work through some things next few weeks, because I know right now you're going, I don't know if I know when to do all that stuff. And well, you will. We're going to work through a bunch of stuff. It's going to be some serious stuff. But right now, this is where we're headed. You need to know when to take action and when to stand tall. In the evil day, you can put on the whole armor of God, you know, and the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, your feet shod with preparation gospel, you dug in. You're holding up the shield of faith, where you can quench the fiery darts of the enemy, and in your hand the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, well, why don't we stand? The sword, you have the sword of the Spirit, it's the word of God, your shield of faith. And know when to stand. Know when to just stand there in God's presence and speak the word, stand on it, and let the Spirit of God prevail. We need a lot more of that going on in Christianity. It would affect all of society. Don't get pulled into arguments and junk. Just stand there. This is thus saith the Lord. I mean, you don't do it to force your idea on somebody. I mean, it's when you see Scripture violated, you know it's flagrant, it's open. Stand there and quote and speak the word and let the Spirit of God prevail. Okay, thirdly, now we take a switch, right? We're switching. We're going to take another angle. When to be quiet. When to be quiet. Oh, yeah. 2 Timothy 2:23 says this. He says, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. He said, if you start these foolish and ignorant disputes, then you're going to end up with blows, you know, physical blows, mental blows. Well, he said, avoid it. There's a time to know when to be quiet. You know, you need to know when you're being pushed into an argument. Does anybody have trouble? I mean, do you have trouble knowing until it's too late when you're being pushed into an argument? You're getting manipulated. Yeah, and it's easy to manipulate someone into an argument when they already have a real defensive, self-defensive nature about themselves. All you got to do is just pick a little bit. Just pick and poke. You'll get an argument. You know, you got to stop letting people manipulate you. You know why you're being easily manipulated? I'm getting ahead of another message, but I'm going to give you this real quick. Okay, this is for free. You ready? Do you know the most easily manipulated, the easiest people to get in, draw into an argument, the easiest people to bait? You want to know who that is? It's a person with low self-esteem. That's why they're so defensive. Because they don't know who they are. We're going to build on this. This is a stronghold of the enemy. We're going to talk about this. And why you get into so many things and why you've done some of the stuff you've done in your life. But just for today, listen. When you get hurt so easy, it's because you are not sure of you. This is so biblical. Are you ready for this biblical approach? Little Lamar. Okay. But I gained things from all that. I was reading one of his Westerns. And I was kidding about the biblical approach. But boy, if there's things I pick up from Tom Clancy, Lou Lamar, all these people. But I just wanted a Western. I needed a good shoot 'em up. I had some things I dealt with, and I thought, I just need some people really shooting them up. I need a gunfight at the OK Corral type thing. But he was talking about this young kid, and he wore two tied-down guns. And he was just itching to kill somebody. Old West, you know. And he came up against this old, hardened, sunburned cowboy. They said his skin looked like dried leather. And he tried to entice him into a fight, and nothing that kid did to make that old boy do it. And he called him a coward and all this stuff. And most everybody in the little town, they knew this old boy. And he'd come in every now and then and to the saloon and this and that. And he walked out. Somebody asked him, how can you take that kind of abuse from that kid? And here's the words. Here's what was said. He said, you know, a really tough man knows he's really tough. And he never has to prove it. I thought, whoa. Is that powerful or what? If it's the same thing for a woman, you know who you are. You've been there and done that. You don't have to prove anything, especially not to a smart aleck kid trying to draw you into a gunfight. And how many of you have been drawn into a gunfight and you really got blasted hard too when you should have just stood there quiet? You know you're tough. You know you're Christian. Take that word tough and insert Christian, spiritual, spirit-filled. You know who you are. You know you're God's son, God's daughter. Why do you have to prove it to some punk? Why do you have to prove it to some unbeliever? Why? Do I need to prove who I am? Do I need to prove where I've been and what I've done to anybody? No, I've been there, done that. I got the badge. I don't have to prove it to anybody. Neither do you. So why are you doing it? Why you keep trying? You don't have to prove anything to anybody. You don't have to be drawn into anything. So if you're being drawn in and your ego is at stake here, your pride, or you're just getting easily offended, you're going to get help. You're going to get help. We're going to help you. But today, know that God has something better for you. And know that you, if nothing else, if you can just be silent, just be quiet till we get to this in the next few messages. You know, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. They just generate strife. Your silence can diffuse anger. Silence can keep you from saying something you would regret. I don't guess there's anybody in here that's ever said anything they regret, right? Here's the problem with saying things you regret. Listen to this. God will forgive you. You can ask God to forgive you. You can ask the person you said it to forgive you. The problem is the human mind doesn't want to forget. So when you say things you regret, the person that received that has a lot more trouble letting it go. Do they not? It just plays around in your mind. It plays around your mind. We're going to talk about why that happens too. Not today. We're running out of time. I've got to close. And silence, just being quiet, can help you prevent having, a bad day. There's an old movie, if you haven't seen it, you should. Spencer Tracy, A Bad Day at Black Rock. You need to watch that. It can keep you from a bad day at Black Rock. Oh, let me give you real quick. I want to give you a movie. If you haven't seen it, I recommend it to you. Is it a Christian movie? No. But an inspiring movie. A wonderful movie. It's called The Boys in the Boat. Has anybody seen it? Where have y'all been? The Boys in the Boat. Watch it. I encourage you to watch that movie. Because it involves, and I'll just give you, just, I won't tear anything up, ruin it for you. But it involves this. It's back in the 1930s. And it involves some boys that were sleeping in old, rusted out vehicles. It was right after the Depression, right? And they had nothing. Versus the guys that had everything from Yale, Harvard, Columbia, all these, and the boat. It's all about the boats, or the boat. And it's a true story. It's a true story. And it's how these boys, every one of them had holes in their boots and they were stuffing things in there. If you've been from that kind of environment, you know what that's like. And those boys, nothing, took on all the have everythings. And I don't want to ruin it anymore, because that won't ruin it. But these boys came from nowhere. It's an inspiring movie, and it's to say no matter where you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you feel, you can be somebody. You watch that movie. It's one of the best non-Christian movies I've seen, I don't know when. The Boys in the Boat. Now, you may watch it and say, well, I'm glad you got more of it than I did. That's always can be the case. But I believe, truly, to see people come from nothing and want to achieve. Anyway, you watch it. I'm closing with this. I really am closing, so here it is. You've got to know when to walk away and wait. Yeah. Wait for what? For God to take care of the problem, the situation. Friends, listen. You've been drawn in too many times. This is Psalms 37. Listen to this. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for God. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Evil people will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Powerful stuff. So I'll close with these points. Don't walk into an ambush. Don't walk into a verbal, physical, mental ambush. That's why we've talked about being lured and sucked into things. And come on, don't let your ego and your pride be used of the devil to pull you into an ambush. Sometimes people just wake up and they want to fight. They want an argument. So have you. We all have, right? Mentioned it before. Some days you just wake up and you want to just fight. Just start an argument. Well, those on the other end, don't play. Don't play. Don't walk into an ambush. Don't let yourself be baited. How long are you going to let your ego and your pride override the Holy Spirit and your common sense? How long are you going to keep doing that? You know what God teaches? You know what the Holy Spirit's prompting you to do? You know what common sense is? I've sat in so many marriage situations, and it's like, let the Holy Spirit prevail here. Let's use common sense with it. For crying out loud, let's quit baiting each other. Listen, let me give you an old military principle. If the enemy is set, change tactics. If he's set waiting for you, change your tactics. Throw him off balance. Don't ever let him get set again. Push him. But if your enemy sits, change your tactics. If you know you're being baited, you know you're being set up. I mean, you can see it. You can just see that somebody is having a bad day at BlackRock. And they want you to have a bad day too. Like somebody waiting on you. Somebody checking you out, right? You run into that all the time, don't you? And you know they're just trying to stir you up. Change tactics. You say, well, how do you do that? Real quick. If somebody's trying to make you upset and they're just being naughty, and say, you say, have you been outside? Did you see those big clouds? Totally go to something they don't even, they're not expect. Change tactics. Throw them off balance so they think you're crazy. You're not being sucked into it. You just threw the enemy off. He sent for you. They say something, and they're trying to get you to just buy into it. And all of a sudden, they're going to get, and you don't play. You know, so did you see out there, there's a big cloud coming. Did you see the cloud? There's a little bitty cloud. They just started coming, and they're looking at it like. I wonder how they make that ice over there in that deal. How do they get it in those bags? Is there a machine that does it? I don't know. And I've just wondered, you know, do you ever stand in there and just put your head in that big ice thing there and just feel the cool from it if we go outside? They don't know what you're changing tactics. There's ways to divert so many arguments by just going to something else. By the way, when we were talking about being silent a while ago, let me share with you one thing. Don't use silence as a weapon. You ever done it? I'm not speaking to you until you get civil, until you listen to me, until you do what I told you to do. Oh boy, that's not the silence. I just want to throw that in. No, silence is an offensive thing. Silence is to just stop. Everything just quiet. When you start getting an argument, just get silent. And then know when to wait for another day. Just turn it over to the Lord. Listen to this. Don't walk into an ambush. Don't fall for the same old trap. If the enemy set, change tactics. And listen to this. You ready? Why don't you learn to laugh at yourself a little bit? And we're going to help you with this. We're going to work through this and get you to where your ego is not as strong, where you don't have to be so defensive. Can't you learn to laugh at yourself? If other people are laughing at you, why don't you laugh with them? Why don't you laugh not at, but with others? Find humor. Sometimes the best move is just to have humor. You know, somebody says, man, what's wrong with you? You just sprayed gasoline all over yourself there at the pump. I know. Got a match? I mean, really, just something to, just have some humor. Just laugh instead of, yeah, I know, what's it to you? Oh, come on. That's not the way God made you, so pick your battles. Pick your battles. This all comes from Timothy. You know, wait for another day. Let God, and ask yourself, am I defending myself? Am I defending God? Or am I just defending my pride or my opinion? Give it some thought. Follow the Holy Spirit. This scripture I leave with you. Lay hold on eternal life. Wait on the Lord, and he shall renew your strength. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. You keep your heart and mind on it. And just know when. Father, we thank you for your word and the power of it. We thank you for the coming messages. We thank you for what you're doing now, what you've done before, what you're going to do. We put it in your hands that we'd be a better people going out than when we came in. And your spirit lead us and guide us, direct us, and fill us to overflowing as rivers of living water, bearing all the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you for being here this day.